John, to the second chapter. John chapter 2, verse number 6. John chapter 2 and verse 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Jesus had been invited to a wedding feast. And Jesus goes where people invite Him. If you want Jesus in your life, invite Him. If you want Jesus in your home, invite Him. If you want Jesus in your friendship, invite Him. If you want Jesus in your marriage, invite Him. Amen. And so He was invited to go to a wedding, and He went. And it was a wedding of a couple, apparently. Mary, his mother, was somehow involved in the wedding. And an embarrassing situation arose. Jesus, of course, when He came, He brought His disciples with Him, and that increased the number. Maybe that was enough to upset the balance, and perhaps this was a poor couple. I don't know, but for whatever reason, they ran out of wine. That was their chief refreshment, and so it was an embarrassing situation for them. And so Mary brings this to Jesus, and she tells Him that they have run out of wine, and Jesus says to her, He says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" He said, "Mine hour is not yet come." I know that sounds a little harsh, but I can promise you one thing, that Jesus was not being disrespectful to His mother. Amen. It was a word of honor and a word of respect when He called her. You know, it's the tone of voice that we use many times, isn't it? That means a lot. It's how you say things to people. And it was a word of respect that He used for His mother that day. And what he was really saying was, "Just leave it up to me. Just leave it up to me. I'll take care of things from here." Amen. And then He said, "My hour's not yet come." Well, maybe He didn't really think so, but it had come. It was time. Amen. The words were no sooner out of His mouth than His mom turns to the servants and with total confidence just simply says, "Whatever He says to do, you just do it." Now, until this time, Jesus had never worked a miracle. There are some stories from ancient books that talk about things that were fanciful, but He didn't do those things, because the Bible very plainly declares that this was the first miracle. Says it very plainly. So Mary didn't know what Jesus was going to do. She just knew that He had been taking care of the family now for some time, and that she had confidence that He would know what to do in this situation. Let me tell you today that Jesus knows what to do in your situation. Whatever your situation is today, and you have run into a wall and you don't know what you're going to do, you hear me today, Jesus knows what to do about your situation. And so she with confidence says, "Whatever He says to do, just do it." And so Jesus tells them, He said, "Fill up those water pots." Now, those water pots were used in purification ceremonies for Jews. They were very big on washing their hands, washing their feet. You understand that. Now, we're not so quiet. We've got a parking lot that's paved, and we've got a sidewalk leading up to the church, and we've got a paved street outside, and you have shoes on your feet, or boots, or whatever, tennis shoes. Or hope nobody's barefoot sides the little ones. But anyway, you get the general idea. Our feet are pretty much taken care of. But in Jewish times, they didn't have shoes as we know them. They had sandals. They just had straps that held them on to a little platform on the bottom of their feet, and they didn't have any paved roads. Basically, the roads were mostly made of sand and dirt and debris, and so any time they walked anywhere, their feet got dirty. If it was wet, they got muddy, but their feet were always needed washing, and so before they'd come in the house, they'd have to wash their feet, so they had water pots outside. This particular place, the scripture said it had six water pots, and they held about two or three firkins apiece. Now, we don't use firkins much anymore, I don't suppose. Amen. But according to the study that I've done, a firkin is somewhere between 20 and 30 gallons. I don't know exactly. Maybe they were different sizes. I don't know why he just said that about. But they held two to three firkins. Some of them may smaller, some bigger. But they were pretty big. They would hold about 20 to 30 gallons apiece. Now, there were six of them. And so, if math still works the same way it did back when I went to school, and then if I multiply 6 times 100, or 6 times 20, I would get 120. Is that right? All you great mathematicians out there. If I were to multiply 6 times 30, I would come up with 180. So what we have then is these water pots held somewhere between 120 and 180 gallons. That's a lot of water, isn't it? And the Bible says that the servants filled these water pots to the brim. Amen. Filled them to the brim. And everybody say to the brim. Now, that's the kind of people I like. I like people when they do something, they don't do it halfway. Amen. He didn't say, but they filled them up all the way. In other words, you couldn't put anything else in there. They were to the brim. When you do something for the Lord, do it with everything you've got. If you're going to sing, with everything you've got. If you're going to preach, preach with everything you've got. If you're going to teach Sunday school, do it with all you've got. If you're going to clean the restroom, do it with all you've got. If you're going to vacuum the floor, do it with all you've got. If you're going to cook chicken spaghetti, do it with all you've got. Whatever you're going to do for the Lord, give it your best. Do it with everything that you have, because it's for God and His glory. And these servants, they had that attitude and spirit. They filled it to the brim. And then... So why in the world did Jesus make 120 to 180 gallons? That's far more than they'd ever need. So now I'm going to give you my title to my message. I want to preach about this. He always has more. Or He will always be more than enough. I said He will always be more than enough. Whatever your situation calls for, He won't just be enough, but He'll always be more than enough. Jesus didn't make just enough. He made more than enough. He wanted them to know that I'm not just sufficient. He wanted to know them to know I'm more than sufficient. He wanted them to realize that I will always be more than you will ever need. Whatever need comes into your life, I will supply that, and there will still be room for more than that. He wants us to understand. So the very first miracle that Jesus ever did, He said, I want you to know that I'll always be more than you will ever need. Amen. And that follows through in the Scripture. When Jesus fed a crowd one time, there were 5,000 men, and plus their wives and their kids. And so I don't know how many that was. 10,000 of each was married. If they had two kids, what, 20,000 people? It was a big crowd of people that he fed that day. But you know what? He fed them more than enough. The Bible said that they ate until they were full. And when they were full, the Bible said they took up 12 baskets full. He was saying, I want you to know that I'm more than enough. Another occasion, he fed 4,000. And the Bible said they took up 7 baskets full. Every time Jesus did something, he didn't just do it, but he always said, I'm more than enough. Hallelujah. I'm more than enough. Praise God. One time he was on a ship and it was sailing, and all of a sudden a big storm came up, and Jesus was sleeping down the bottom of the boat. Sleeping through the storm. Praise God. He wasn't concerned. He wasn't worried. He wasn't afraid. But the disciples were fearful. The boat began to fill up with the water, and the winds were ferocious, and it was as if the boat were going to sink. And out of fear, they cried out, and Peter said, Lord, don't you even care that we perish? How petulant. That sounds like some of us, doesn't it? Don't you even care, Jesus? Look at what I'm going through. Don't you even care? A little girl went and told her pastor. She said, my family and I are moving next Sunday. Said, I'm sorry. And a little bit later, she came and pulled on his coattail. She said, Pastor, this is my last Sunday here. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry. We'll miss you when you're gone. And she come a little bit later, and she pulled, and she pulled his coattail again, and she said, Pastor, did you hear what I said? She said, this is the last time I'm going to be here. He said, I heard you, and I'm so sorry that you're going. She said, ain't you even going to cry? That's the way we are with the Lord sometimes. If he ain't crying, he don't care. Lord, don't you even care the situation that I'm in? Yes, he cares. And he's got it in control. And he has an answer. And he's going to work all things for your good. Because he's not just enough, but he's more than enough. Amen. But we just want to see something more. Maybe what we're seeing. So Jesus rises up, and he walks out on the bow of the ship, and he just speaks to the wind, the waves. He said, peace. Be still. And the wind just goes, inhales and calms down. And all of a sudden the waves just go down, begin to lap gently against the side of the boat. And he said, that's better. I'm telling you, he's more than enough. Praise God. And another time, he sent his disciples in. The Bible said, he told them, now you'll get in the boat and go on to the other side. I'll be there in a little while. I'm going to go pray. So they get in the boat, and they head out just like Jesus said. And as the boat is going again, they get into a storm. The Sea of Galilee was notorious for quick storms that come up. And then the storm came up, and again they found themselves in trouble. But this time, Jesus wasn't on board. He wasn't there. And so he wasn't with them, and they became very, very fearful because they were alone in the middle of a storm. But the Bible says that the Lord saw them, and he sees you. Hallelujah. He watched them, and they were weary with rowing. Amen. And the Bible says that he came to them walking on the sea. Hallelujah. Amen. This time he wasn't there, but all of a sudden, here he comes walking.
Woo!
Amen. He's more than enough. Amen. Anybody that can walk on stormy waves and howling winds and lashing rains, he's more than enough. And he's just walking through the storm. The sea's no different than the land. Praise the Lord. He's walking just like he was on a highway somewhere. Isn't that amazing? Amen. You see, God doesn't see the storm like you see the storm. You see the storm as something fearful. You see the storm as something that's going to destroy you. You see the storm as something unpleasant. He sees it just as another surface. It's no different to him than when he was walking on the land. And so he's walking by the sea. And as they see him coming, and the Bible says they said, cried out because they thought that he was just some kind of a ghost walking on the water. I'll be honest with you. If I was out in the middle of a storm in the lake somewhere, and I saw somebody come walking, I'd get kind of scared. I'll be honest. It would scare me. I'm out there rowing, doing my best to keep the boat afloat. Somebody just comes whistling, walking down. I think this ain't right. So they were scared. And so Jesus cried out or called out to them, and he said, be not afraid, it's I. One little boy was trying to learn that line. He didn't quite get it right, but he got pretty close. He said, don't get scared, it's just me. And that gets the message across. Amen. Be not afraid, it is I. And suddenly Peter saw him coming, and man, he got bold. Lord, if that's really you, let me come to you walking on the water. What are you thinking, Peter? Well, he wasn't. It's the whole point. He didn't think much. He just acted. You ever know anybody like that? Amen. He was real bad about foot and mouth disease. He had an incurable case. So he bails off the boat. Jesus said, come. And so Peter starts walking. As long as he's looking at Jesus, he's all right. But when he takes his eyes off and he starts looking at the storm, he begins to sink. Help me, Lord. Amen. And the one that's more than enough reached down and got his hand, lifted him up. Amen. Praise God. You can criticize Peter all you want to, but most of you will never get out of the boat. And you know what? He got back to the boat walking on the water. Now, I've never had that experience. I doubt I ever will. I'm not looking forward to it. But if God designs it, and His grace will make it happen, because He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Mary and Martha sent a message to Jesus. They said, just a simple little message. They didn't even tell Him what to do. They just said, Lazarus, he whom you love, our brother, sick. That's all they said. And they just knew that Jesus would take care of it. He'd say a prayer or whatever. And Lazarus is going to be all right because he's more than enough. Well, Lazarus died. And Jesus showed up. But he got there what appeared to them to be too late. Amen. But you see, he didn't come too late. I want to just go to John chapter 11. Let me show you something here today that I think would be important for us to know. John chapter 11, and look here at verse number 4. And Jesus heard that. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, I have heard people preach that, if you don't sin, you don't get sick. And I have heard people say that sickness is never the will of God. That's not what that verse says. This verse is specifically saying that sickness came upon Lazarus for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, how was Jesus glorified? Not because of Lazarus' suffering, but because of Lazarus' ultimate healing. So sometimes things may come upon us so that God can demonstrate things through us. Isn't that what happened with a man born blind? They were saying, who sinned, this man or his father, that he was born blind? And he said, neither. He said, but he's been blind that the works of God should be made manifest. And there came a day when the blind man intersected with the one that gave sight to blind eyes, and Jesus healed the man. And what a great testimony that was. Amen. So sometimes sickness comes. God doesn't ask your permission before he sends it. Amen. But don't despair when sickness comes upon you. And the people know that you're sick, because when God heals your body, they're also going to know that there's a great miracle in your life. So sometimes God allows sickness to come that there can be a manifestation of his healing glory. Amen. Now, it takes a lot of maturity to understand that. If you're just into sensationalism, then you'll not get that point. Amen. But sometimes God allows these things. And he did for Lazarus. Lazarus got sick, and Lazarus, as far as we know, Lazarus died. That's the way we see it. Jesus didn't say that until his disciples didn't understand. He said Lazarus is sleepy, because to him that's all it was. And could I just say today that whenever you're a saint of God and you're saved, when you die, you really just go to sleep. As far as God's concerned, you're just sleeping. Amen. Because he knows that he's going to wake you up when the right time comes. And so they're sleeping, and Jesus comes, and the sisters are upset, and they say, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus tells Martha, he said, your brother's going to rise again. And she said, oh, I know that. I believe in the resurrection. At the last day, he's going to live. And Jesus said, no. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. You're looking at it. Hallelujah. I am the resurrection. That I was, or I'm going to be. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Amen. And so he makes it very clear, praise God. And said, believe me, and though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? And so they go down to the tomb, and they roll away the stone, and Jesus lifts his voice, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. And Lazarus comes out of the tomb, resurrected. I'm telling you, friend, he's more than enough. He's not just a healer. He's a resurrection. Amen. He's not just a temporal life. He's eternal life. Praise God. He called Lazarus back. Lazarus lived. I don't know how long Lazarus lived, but I do know that he died again. Praise God. But you know what? The next time he calls his name, it's going to be for good. Hallelujah. The next time Lazarus comes out of the grave, it'll be forever. Praise God. The next time he calls him, he's not ever going to die again. Praise the Lord. So you and I need to understand today that he's always more than enough. God is not stingy. God is not just somebody that you have to proportion here and there, because you're afraid you're going to run out. You're not ever going to run out of God. Amen. I don't know, but scientists tell us that we've never found the edge of the universe. We don't know how big it is. We've never found an edge to it. It's just so immense, we don't know how big it is. And I'm telling you today that my God made all. And so no matter how big your problem is, you're never going to run into the edge of God. You're not ever going to find a place where there's not any more of him. You're not going to reach the extent of God's knowledge. You're not going to reach the extent of God's power. You're not going to reach the extent of God's life. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together today. Problems that are really big for you are not big to God. Now, understand me. I'm not saying that they're not important to God, because they are, because they're important to you. They're just not big to God. Things that you can't solve and you can't find an answer to, He has the answer to it. And He, because He's more than enough. He's not just enough. That's why the Apostle Paul said that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think. Amen. So you see, we can't even, when you get to the extent of your imagination, you've made God as big as you can make Him. He said that He's abundantly and exceeding abundantly above that limitation. There's no ending to God's power, God's glory, God's ability, God's love. Amen. So I just want somebody here today that's struggling with some issues in your life, and you almost have reached a place of despair because you're at the end of your rope. You don't know what else to do. I'm telling you today that your God is more than enough. And if you'll bring it to Him and give it to Him and turn it over to Him, He's more than enough. He's more than enough.